In this dream world that we seem to inhabit, this world where concrete error appears to be everywhere, this world in which matter seems to be the substance that we are dealing with, there is always a need for healing, and there always will be a need for healing as long as we are caught in this belief of concrete, materialistic, divided dream consciousness. Thereby, we can heal one error and another will pop up. And we can heal that error and another will pop up. And we can recalculate and that one will be solved and another one will pop up. Until we have ultimately eradicated the belief that error exists in consciousness at all, that there ever was a miscalculating consciousness, and that we could participate in the miscalculations of that consciousness individually, collectively, or universally. That we could believe ourselves to be caught in a state of consciousness that is isolated, separated, lost in its material sensations, governed by them, governed by the perceptions of the senses, governed by the embodiment of concrete error that we seem to possess. So let's think about that deeply as one little issue after another, or one big issue after another, lifts to the surface of our consciousness and thereby lifts to the surface of our manifestation, be it internal or external. Let us understand that we are only handling the belief that there is a miscalculation, that there can be concrete error at all, that there can be evil at all, that there can be sickness at all. Let us understand that that is far more important than handling each individual tiny little miscalculation that comes along. Because if we expect to do that, we will always be given to do that. What you expect in consciousness manifests. If you are always conscious on a level of healing, you will always have to have something to heal. If we can lift our consciousness to a more absolute state and understand that in that state everything is calculating correctly, that consciousness is always conscious, that it has never lost sight of the whole, and thereby the calculations are only calculations that deal with the whole, then there will not be a need to heal anything. For nothing will be miscalculating, and nothing thereby will appear to be miscalculated. nothing will manifest itself as a miscalculation of consciousness. Nothing will manifest itself as sickness of any kind, be it the sickness of government, the sickness of a body, the sickness of a mind, or a group of bodies or a group of minds. There will be no sickness to heal. And there is where we truly need to be. Without a consciousness of error, without a consciousness of evil, without a consciousness of sickness, without a consciousness of partialities, without a consciousness that deals in anything that is unwhole, it is easy, really. We just need to deal in wholes. And to deal in wholes, we need to go to whole symbols. We need to dwell within whole symbols. We need to fill and imbue our consciousness with the reality of the largest, most whole symbol of consciousness that we can focus upon. Because whatever we have in the focus of our attention, whatever we give our attention to, will manifest. And as we give our attention to the lie, it will manifest. And I don't need to tell you, because you all know, that lies are very noisy. Whether they're lies in the collective, whether they're lies in the political arena, whether they're lies of relationship, whether they're lies of the body, they are all very noisy. And the ones we are most individually familiar with are the lies that appear in our body, because they are the noisiest of all. And they clamor for our attention. Look at me, look at me, look at me, listen to me, listen to me, feel me, feel me. And at that juncture, you just have to stamp up and down and say, no, I won't do it. I don't need to do it. This is just the old symbol of the serpent talking. Yap, 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 yap. Shut up. Be quiet. No, I do not have to listen to the lie. I can listen only to the truth. I can turn my attention to the truth. I can turn my attention onto the highest, deepest, fullest symbols of the truth that I know. And I can imbibe that truth. I can flow in that symbol and entertain it in consciousness and let it fill every cavern of my consciousness, and trust that as it fills every cavern of my consciousness, it is automatically awakening me out of my dream, out of the state of hypnosis that I have fallen heir to. Isn't it wonderful that we have in our midst such a deeply holistic symbol upon which to dwell, a symbol of being itself, a symbol of truth, a symbol of the whole, a symbol that is so holistic that it includes all that exists in consciousness, all of the elements of consciousness, all of the operation of consciousness, all of the dimensional perspectives of consciousness, that we have in our midst a model of consciousness, a model which invites us to dwell within it, a model whose original revelation for us stemmed from the revelation of Mary Baker Eddy. But in truth, we know that that deep model of consciousness, that whole operating consciousness, which exists everywhere, exists in the consciousness of the all. And as it exists in the consciousness of the all, it can also individualize as any open, revelatory consciousness. And we know that it has, throughout the ages, revealed itself to all who were open to that deep, full unity consciousness. Our symbols have come through the revelation of Mary Baker Eddy, structured into a symbolic chart by John Dorley and his students, and given great power, the power of law, by Max Kapler. But we know that though this is the form that we choose to take for dwelling within the model of consciousness, that it could have broken in on other consciousness in a different manner and in slightly different symbols that would represent the exact same model. And we do know that the more holistic the symbols, the more universal the symbols, the more abstract the symbols of the model of consciousness become, the more everyone in the world will relate to those symbols, irregardless of what consciousness appeared to bring them forth from the depths of sleep. And to be truthful with you, each of us have that deep opportunity and must take it now to be the revelator of our own individual consciousness and let the truth of the model of consciousness rise to the surface of our consciousness. Let it reveal itself and rise to the surface and display itself within our consciousness. Then it will be ours. We will be one with that model. So whatever we do with regard to focusing on the terms of the model of the one consciousness, it is of no value unless it breaks forth within our own individual consciousness. As long as it's something outside of us, as long as it's something that we're looking toward, up to, learning about, it is not going to alter our consciousness. It needs to come from the depths of our own loins. It needs to break forth within our own mind, our own heart, our own sensing capacity. We need to be one with that deep, holistic model of consciousness, to live within that model of consciousness, to let it continually awaken our consciousness and form our consciousness, and thereby form the manifestations that we seem to live in this realm, thereby to overturn the false consciousness by simply awakening ourselves into the true consciousness, where we can be of perfect consciousness. We can be one with the consciousness of wholeness, be in that place that exists for us, that place before the advent of the belief of fragmented consciousness. And so keep that in mind today as we flow the deep model of consciousness, as we flow within the models, the laws of the model of consciousness, as we handle incarnate error, as we handle the latent beliefs that run rampant in our consciousness. Keep all of this in mind, that it needs to come to birth within each of us individually in order to be real, in order to alter our consciousness, that we can study to our heart's content, we can study that which is real and right and the purest symbol on the planet, but of no value unless it is our own. And how do we make it our own? Sure, at first, we may have to gather the concept of the elements of the model. We may have to gather the concept of the orders of the model. We may have to gather the concept of the levels of the model. We may have to gather the concept of the workings, the self-organization of the infinite model of consciousness. Of course, at first we may have to do that. But don't stop there. No. Move into that model. Flow in that model. Focus in that model. Put your attention in that model. Let it be everything and all to you. Everywhere you go in life, see out picturings of the model. Let it become your consciousness, your very being. It will never become your consciousness if you miss out on the step number two, of focusing on it, giving it attention, flowing with it, giving it your whole heart, your whole being. It'll never come to birth in your consciousness. Your consciousness will never be restored to its wholeness unless you give attention to the whole, unless you give it your heart, unless you give it your soul, so to speak, unless you give it everything you've got and you make it the most important thing in your life. At that point, it will start to awaken you. It will start to become your awakened consciousness. And before you know it, you will be whole. Truly whole. Truly, truly whole. And it must be obvious with everything that we've just talked about, that turning to the methods of the world may gain effect, because every system has its proof. And mind over matter obviously works, because if we turn our mental attention to something that is more healthful, it will obviously manifest in our experience, rather than keeping our attention on something that is painful, or erroneous, or unhealthful. So even mind over matter has its proof. Hypnotism has its proof, because if I keep programming and programming and programming and programming my mental state with better information, I will manifest the result of that better information. But will it resurrect my consciousness? Will it bring me out of erroneous consciousness? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. It's not that all the rest of this cannot work. We've just seen why it works. But that isn't the issue. Will it totally awaken and resurrect our consciousness? Or will that method just cure that little problem for the moment, and then because the consciousness was not healed, will it not break out in just some other form? Because if you don't heal the miscalculation in consciousness, it's going to manifest and break out in some form. It may look like a false relationship, it may look like a false sense that's visiting our embodiment of qualities, our body. But no matter how it appears, it will break out. And I can heal the finger one day, but if I don't heal through awakened consciousness, it will break out in the toe the next. You know what I mean? You must go back and heal the miscalculation in consciousness before the healing is forevermore. And sometimes we have the experience of actually going to consciousness and experiencing a wonderful sense of harmony and healing and at-one-ment. And we are very pleased. And then a day later, a week later, a month later, a year later, up pops the problem again. And you say, oh no, but I healed that, you know. Well, lots of things could have happened. It could be that even though for the moment you healed the latent error in consciousness, the miscalculation, something in your thought, something in your being, something in your lifestyle has led you adrift again into that cavern. And if so, you need to go into the whole of consciousness again at that place value and reverse it just as the first time. Or it could be that it isn't that at all. It could be just a belief of spiritualism, just a belief that error, the error that was before, is just echoing in morphic resonance. And if it's echoing in morphic resonance and we just happen to hit a particular place on our spiraling consciousness where we entrain with it for a moment, zip, it seems to manifest itself against us. But it isn't really part of our consciousness. It hasn't really re-entered our consciousness. It's just for the moment we seem to be entraining with the echo. And at that point, you just have to say, no, I'm sorry. I already have awakened consciousness in that particular area of my consciousness, and I don't need to awaken it again. This is just simply an echo that's hanging out in morphic resonance, and I don't need to identify with it. I don't need to entrain with it at all. And when you do that, boop, pish, it's gone. It's just gone. And you say, oh, well, that was a ghost, wasn't it? It was just an echo of nothing. It hadn't really relodged itself in my consciousness, thank goodness, and it's just gone. So, of course, you know, we always like it when it comes up that way, rather than the fact that it seems to have relodged itself in consciousness because I seem to have drifted off again. But it could be either, and you need to check to see which it is. Which brings us, then, to the method of entertaining consciousness, of entertaining the highest, deepest symbols of consciousness that we have been exposed to or drawn in or have manifested in our environment, in our consciousness, to this point. And for whatever reason, we collectively have drawn in the symbols that were revealed to Mrs. Eddy, that were charted by John Dorley, and given the power of law by Max Kapler. And thereby, today, for a while anyway, we will focus on the model of being. We will focus on the elements of the model of being, the elements of consciousness, that consciousness is made up of mind. It's made up of spirit. It's made up of soul. It's made up of principle. It's made up of life. It's made up of truth. It's made up of love. These are the elements of true consciousness. And if we dwell with those elements, we will become one with those elements of consciousness. We will regain our consciousness. We will regain the elements of our consciousness. we will dwell on the operations of consciousness, that consciousness is self-existing, that consciousness is self-operative, self-expressed, that consciousness is always contained within the whole of the model of being, and that it reaches out to all and includes all within itself. That there is a self-organizing consciousness, and that consciousness operates on a divine circuit, and that as we identify with the divine circuit of consciousness, as we understand that our consciousness is self-existent and self-operated and self-included and self-organizing, we will awaken, and truly our consciousness will function in that manner. We will awaken to the fact that in the one consciousness, error is unknown, and that there is only one consciousness, one undivided consciousness, one indivisible consciousness, one being, being its own infinite being. We will awaken to the fact that in that one there is an expression of its allness, of its oneness, that consciousness has a ness, a oneness, that it is all-inclusive, that truth is conscious of itself as consciousness within the model of truth. Truth, knowing its own consciousness within the model of truth. We will understand that in the model, all that is consciousness, all that are the individual expressions of consciousness, are spontaneously calculating correctly. We will understand that the true calculus is revealing itself, that it is always lifting to the surface of consciousness, that it is always displaying itself, and that it is always embedded within the allness of consciousness. And we will understand that even as consciousness is a creative consciousness, a transformational consciousness, a self-reflecting consciousness, a self-understood consciousness, even as it is scientifically understanding itself, we will understand that it is not possible for error to enter that consciousness. And we will have a method whereby, if error appears to enter consciousness, it can be eliminated, because we will know that it has never been created by truth, and that it never has, therefore, transformed itself into our being, that it has never really had the power to display itself in our life, and that as we regain our oneness, as we regain our consciousness through the scientific understanding of the model of being, the model of truth, the model of consciousness, we will find that we are whole. And that is how we will dwell in the model of consciousness.